Taisvis' opinion seems to be that one is only in violation of Bal Yiroid by Matzah if the chametz belongs to me. If my roommate has chametz and the roommate is Jewish, the Taisvis seems to hold that that's not my problem, that's his problem. But many of the Meforshim on the Gemara assume that according to Rashi this is not the case, that even if the chametz belongs to another Yisrael, if it's in my apartment, if it's in my rishus, there's still a problem of Bal Yiroid by Matzah. So I do have to worry about it. The Chachamim instituted Bedikas Chametz. The correct man for Bedikas Chametz is Leil Yudalid. And the Gemara says whoever does Bedikas Chametz on Sunday night recites a bracha, even though the obligation to perform Bedikas Chametz is only Midirabbanan, we recite a bracha. But if the Bedika is done earlier than Leil Yudalid, the Gemara says if one leaves his home within 30 days before Pesach, he's obligated to be Bedik Chametz. So then it's a machlekes rishonim, whether a bracha is recited. And the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch that a bracha is not said. So the boys who leave the dormitory before Sunday night are obligated to perform the Bedikas Chametz, but no bracha is recited. The Bedikas should be performed whether Leil Yudalid or earlier. Right away, B'tchilas HaLaila, a person shouldn't be Isaac in any other work. He should do Bedikas Chametz right away. When is Laila? So the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the position right after Tzeis HaKachovim. From Matzoi Shabbos, we wait a long time. We add on more time after Shabbos is over for the purpose of Tosefes Shabbos, but for the purpose of Bedikas Chametz, 30-35 minutes after the Shkiyah is more than enough time, and that's considered Tzeis HaKachovim. There is an opinion. Thank you very much. There is an opinion, the Raiva Chita, that appears on the bottom of the Rif, that since the Mishnah in Pesachim begins orli arba asar, so what it means is that you don't have to wait, you should bedafka not wait till Tzeis HaKachovim, the Bedika should take place during Bein HaShmoshes, but that is not the accepted opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted view is that one should do the Bedikas Chametz right after Tzeis HaKachovim, right after one completes the Bedika. So the Gemara has a takana habodim tzarchi batel. Immediately following the bedika, we recite a bittel. We say a bittel chametz, and whatever chametz I didn't see, whatever chametz I found, I'm going to destroy either tomorrow morning or on Erev Pesach in the morning. Whatever chametz I didn't see, so we say a bittel. The bittel should be said in a language that a person understands. If he doesn't understand Aramaic, he should say it in Yiddish or in German. In the neighborhood, they say it in German or in English. If you understand English, say in English. We have the practice, this doesn't say in the Gemara, we have the practice, the Rosh Hadzan, that on Erev Pesach in the morning, after we burn the Chametz, then we recite Bittul again. The second Bittul, we are Mevatel, not only the Chametz, the Lo Chazite, which I didn't see, we say the Chazite, Lo Chazite, the Chametz which I did see, the chametz which I did not see. What exactly are you looking for when you do Bedikas Chametz? What is the definition of chametz? What is the definition of sa'or? Kol chamira v'chamir. Any chametz or any sa'or. What is chametz? What is sa'or? So chametz, the Gemara defines as one of the five kinds of grain. We usually translate wheat, barley, oats, rye, or spelt, which came in contact with water and was sitting without hisaskus for a minimum of a shear mill. Shear mill, we usually say, is 18 minutes. That's how the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Macharenim, 18 minutes. It's probably much more than 18 minutes, way more than 18 minutes. But if it's less than 18 minutes, for sure, it's not chametz. If it's more than 18 minutes, then you can begin to think that it may possibly have turned into chametz. What exactly is chametz? What is sa'or? They both have to be one of the five kinds of grain that was sitting with water without any hisaskus for some while. So chametz is roi lachila, and sa'or is something which is not roi lachila. Usually, when you have macholas asur, is non-kosher food, which is not roi lachila, So the Gemara derives from the Pasuk that it's mutter. The Pasuk says in Chumash, what do you do with nevela? Non-kosher food, you can sell to a non-Jew, or give it to a non-Jew. So the Gemara derives from the Pasuk that only such food which is royal achila sodom, can retain an Isra achila. Once it becomes nifsam achila sodom, then it's mutab achila. The exception to the rule is sa'or. Sa'or means if you have raw dough and you didn't bake it and you just let it sit from 1 week to the other. So the microorganisms will completely eat up all of the dough and they'll just keep on multiplying. You have millions, billions, zillions, trillions of microorganisms. And if you eat it the week later, it's going to taste awful. The microorganisms just keep on reproducing and they eat up all of the dough. So you really have no dough left and it tastes absolutely awful. And nonetheless, the Chumash says this is an exception to the rule that even though it's not royal achila sadam, it's asav achila. What is the nature of this exception to the rule? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tosefta in Beitza, that appears in the Gemara, the first paragraph in Beitza, because the Sa'or is Zoyla Chamez Be'isis Acheros. This raw dough can serve as an ingredient in a batch of, if I want to mix flour with water, so I'll take this raw dough from last week and I'll put it in, and then I'll blend it with the rest, and it will become Roy Lachilo. It'll serve as a catalyst to cause the new flour mixed with water, the new dough to rise. So since it can serve as an ingredient, Roy Lachamitz Yisacheris, and in that case it will be Roy Lachilo, so it retains the din of Oichel. If you have some chametz that's nifsal ba'achilo, and it's not Roy Lachamitz Yisacheros, let's say you have pills, medications, or you have cosmetics that are absolutely not Roy Lachilo Sodom, and it doesn't look like if you'll mix it in, you're not going to mix these pills into anything. You're not going to use it to serve as an ingredient when you're going to mix flour with water next time. So then the Chazon Ish says that there's no problem that doesn't have a din of chametz. There is a machlokes achronim regarding that din on nifsal na'achila all year long for treifus and for chametz. Is it only if it's hisriach behivish me'elov? If you have, let's say, has some non-kosher salami that was out of the refrigerator for a week. So it gets spoiled. So is it only if it's spoiled by itself? That's called nifsal ma'achila, and then it's mutter. What if I mixed in other ingredients and I was poigim it bi'adayim? I made it nifsal ma'achila. Is that also called enaroy l'achila? So that is a machlokes achronim, the generally accepted opinion, the ruba of the poskim hold that that's also called not roy l'achila. So any pills that you have, any medication, if it doesn't taste good at all, it's not royal achila, and it's not royal achametz ba'isis achera, so there's nothing to worry about, there's no ba'yiroya, and it's permissible to eat it on Pesach. If you have a loaf of bread that became spoiled, nifsal ma'achila sakela, but you sit and you eat it, you're hungry, so you sit and you eat it, so that's a big machloikus harishayim. We pass in a Shulchan Aruch that that's osa midirabonim to eat, because if you sit and you eat it, you demonstrate that you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it is royal achila. So that's also b'achila midirabonim. But if you just take a pill, you're not demonstrating that it's royal achila. If you eat a whole loaf of bread, you're demonstrating. If you have a tray for salami that was left out of the refrigerator for a week, and you eat the whole salami because you're hungry, so you're demonstrating that it's, as far as you're concerned, it's royal achila. So that's also b'achila midirabonim. That's how we passed. But if you just take a tiny bit, for medical purposes, you're not demonstrating that it's royal achila, so that is not even a problem with the Rabbanim. Years ago, regular flour, years ago, in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Gaonim, plain flour that you buy in the store was known as kemach min ha'shuk. Even if you weren't careful from the time that it was harvested from the ground, and while it was being ground up, even if one was not careful to make sure that it didn't come in contact with water, but so it's not shmura, but it was assumed that it's not chametzdik. Kemach min hashuk was assumed to be kosher lePesach. From the 1500s on, all of the poskim say, the Magen Avraham quotes says from the Radvaz, that all over the world, most places now, even in Russia, they have like that. They bleach all of the flour and they soak the flour in water. So today, the kemach min hashuk, the plain flour, is a chashash of real chametz. Some hold that it may be chametz gomer, some hold that it may be chametz nukshe. You have to sell the flour, just like you sell other chametz that you have in the house. You have to sell the flour as well. It's no longer considered karach min al-shum. The institution of mechiras chametz appears in the Tosefta. The Tosefta speaks about the Shulchan Aruch, quotes it from the Tosefta. If a person is going on a boat trip, and the boat is only serving non-kosher food, so he has to bring along kosher food for the whole trip. The trip is going to take a long, long time. So what does he do when it comes Pesach? He has a loaf of bread. What is he going to throw? All the chametz in the sea. He's going to throw the chametz in the ocean. So what's he going to eat after Pesach is over? So the Tosefta says, let him sell the chametz to the non-Jew. And then we assume, the Shulchan Aruch assumes, that after Pesach is over, he's going to buy it back from the non-Jew. He has to have food to eat. The institution of Mechiras Chametz, as we have it today, was developed in the early 1800s. It was really patterned after a practice that the Rishonim developed, Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. Many Jews were in the farming business, farming industry, so they used to raise cattle. And when the female cow would be about to give birth, usually in the springtime, so there was a concern, the first Vlad that's born, if it's a male Vlad, has a Kedushas Karban. So you're not permitted to shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash until it gets a mum. And you're not permitted to make a mum b'yadayim, so you may have to wait years till it develops a mum. The Mishnah in Bchoris tells about the policeman, the Roman policeman, who used to pass by the farm every day. And he asked the Jewish farmer, how come he never uses that cow? What is that, a holy cow? How come he never uses that cow to do any work? So he said, yeah, that's a holy cow. It was born firstborn, a Bchor Behema Torah, and it's a male. So he says, what do you have to wait for? So he says, well, we have to wait till it gets a mum. And he explains to them what that is. So the Goyisha policeman said, what's the problem? So he took out his knife and he cut off the ear, he cut off the lips of the cow. So the Mishnah has a whole discussion. Is the farmer permitted to shech the Behema, the firstborn Behema, based on that mum? If the Jew made the mum b'yadayim, or if the Jew encouraged the non-Jew to make the mum b'yadayim, so then the Mishnah says there's a penalty with the Rabbanon, you cannot shecht the Bechor Behemah Torah based on that mum. But here the Jewish farmer didn't encourage the non-Jewish policeman. He was just telling him, the policeman was asking him, well, how come you're not using the cow? So he said, is it a holy cow? He says, yeah, and he explains to him the whole story. And he didn't mean that the non-Jew should make a mum. So the Mishnah says, in such a case, it's not the fault of the Jew that it got a mum. So this is a problem if the Jewish farmer is going to have a Behema HaMevakeres that's about to give birth for the first time, and there's a 50-50 chance it may give birth to a male Vlad, in which case it's going to have a Kedushas Karban, in which case he can't do anything with it, you can't shecht it, you can't do a melacha with it, and probably, Taisus points out, probably someone is going to violate the prohibition of L'Sava B'Vachor Sherecha V'L'Sogas B'Vachor Tzenecha. Probably somebody's going to do some giza v'avoda with this Vlad. So that Tosfos says in the beginning of Pchoris that we would recommend to make a shutvus with a non-Jew. We would recommend to do a harama here. If the non-Jew owns a shutvus in the behema hamavakeris, the behema that's about to give birth, or if the non-Jew owns a shutvus in the uber that's going to be born, so then the holding of Bechor Behema Torah doesn't apply. So this was developed in the days of the Balei HaTosis, the institution of Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. It's tricky. We know how to sell Metaltalim to another Jew. How exactly do you sell Metaltalim to a non-Jew? So if you give it to the non-Jew and he picks it up and he walks off with it, then for sure it's sold. But he doesn't pick up the Behema that's about to give birth. He makes Kinyonim. Or he doesn't go, if I give the Nochri, give my next door neighbor a carton full of all the schnapps and all the spaghetti and all the cookies that I have, and he picks it up and he takes it into his apartment, that's the best thing. I used to have a next door neighbor, I used to sell him all the schnapps, and within a half an hour all the schnapps was gone. And he died from a liver ailment, from drinking too much schnapps. I killed him. He drank all my schnapps every year. I explained to him that if he doesn't want it after Pesach, I'll be happy to buy it back. He didn't want to sell it back. He drank all the shops. I sold them for next to nothing. So the Rishonim point out that it's a little tricky. How exactly to make a kinyan with the non-Jew and the chametz if he doesn't pick it up and take it into his home? So which kinyan do you do? So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Ktzois, from the Nesivos, our practice is you make six kinyanim, because each kinyan has a question whether it works or not. Even all the six kinyanim together, there's a pick book on each one of them. There isn't really any shita who says all the way through that all six are no good. But that's our practice. We do all the six kinyanim. So the rabbi who was appointed, we don't sell the chametz to the rabbi. We ask the rabbi to serve as the shaliach to sell the chametz for us. So we have to have a knowledgeable rabbi who knows how to make all the six kinyanim. That's the minhag that you make six kinyanim. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that you can burn the chametz anytime you want. A lot of people daven at the early minyan, at 6 o'clock minyan and broyers, and then they burn the chametz right away. So this is questionable whether that practice still applies bizman hazeh today. Most of the people sell 98% of the chametz they sell to the non-Jew, and they only burn 1 or 2% of the chametz that they leave behind, a little bagful. So this is questionable whether that makes sense. The rabbi is not going to sell the chametz till 10:30 in the morning. So I burn a little kazayis of chametz at the 7 o'clock when the first minyan is over. Then I have, when I burn the chametz, I still own 98-99% of my chametz. I haven't done anything to yet. Then I have the rabbi sell that chametz at 10:30 to the non-Jew. So is that really a proper way to fulfill a mitzvah of bir chametz, to burn first 1% and then to sell the 99%? Maybe the reverse. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have the institution Mechiras Chametz the way we have it today, that everybody sells the chametz. So that could be that today maybe the proper practice should be that you have to wait. Those who are relying on the rabbi to sell chametz, maybe you should wait till 10:30, 11 o'clock, after you know the rabbi already sold the chametz, and then you have to burn the chametz. But then you have to make sure that you say the second Kol Chamira before the Zman Isa Hanoh. The Gemara says you cannot perform Bittul chametz at the time that the chametz is already osa b'hanor. This institution of mechiras chametz is really what we call a ha'arama. It's a legal fiction. It's legal. But I'm not really interested in selling my schnapps to the non-Jew. I don't have a liquor shop. I really want to buy it back after Pesach. I'm interested in keeping it. But just for the purpose of avoiding bal yirah by matzos, I sell it to the non-Jew. So that's called a legal fiction ha'arama. So there are poskim who are of the opinion that it's not proper to perform ha'arama with respect to a din d'oraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik always, every year, used to encourage not only the students in yeshiva, he used to encourage the balabatim in Boston and the balabatim in New York that he spoke to, that they should avoid relying on mechiras chametz with respect to real chametz bien. With respect to taruvas chametz, if you have some food item that has less than 50% of chametz ingredients in it, if you have cookies, so that's more than 50% of flour. But if you have, I don't know, something else, I don't know, gefilte fish, I guess, that has a little bit of chametz in it, so probably may have less than 50%. So that's probably taruvas chametz. On taruvas chametz, you can rely on mechiras chametz. And many others disagree. The Nesivis has in his collection of tshuvas, the first tshuva, he disagreed. His opinion was that it's permissible to rely on mechiras chametz, even on chametz bien, and he says there's nothing wrong, no problem whatsoever. If a person is traveling either to the east, Eretz Yisrael, or to the west, to California, and he asks the rabbi in New York to sell chametz for him, so he should mention that he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael, so where Yonta begins 7 hours earlier. So the Isra HaNoah in the morning begins 7 hours earlier. Where he's going to be, the Isra HaNoah is going to begin 7 hours earlier. Or if he's going to California, so then for Yontif, and then the rabbi's going to buy back the chametz right after Yontif is over. So for this person, Yontif is not over for another 3 hours. So the rabbi is buying back his chametz. He's causing him to violate by Rabbi Matzeh. So you should mention to the rabbi whom you're asking to sell the chametz for you, you should mention that you're going to travel either to the east or to the west or a different time zone. And to make sure, all the rabbis know that they have a different mechiras chametz for those who are traveling either to the east or to the west. Chametz on Pesach is not only osa b'achilo, you're not allowed to eat it, it's osa b'hano. Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanoim, and the accepted opinion is against Rabbi Yosef Lili, chametz b'Pesach is osa b'hano. So the Shulchan Aruch gives an example of osa b'hano. Not everybody agrees, but this is the way it says in the Ramah. And if I walk past the non-Jewish bakery on purpose in order to enjoy the pleasant smell of the freshly baked bread or cake or cookies, so that also is an example of Yisuri Hanoah. One is not allowed to get Hanoah from chametz. Not everybody agrees with that example, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't pass by if the only shortest way to walk to shul or to walk to your friend's home is to pass by the bakery, you're not mechuyev to walk out of your way. And even if as you pass by the bakery you enjoy the pleasant smell of the fresh lebek chametz, the Gemara calls that yepsha v'loy kamachavim. But if you walk there especially in order to smell the pleasant smell of the chametz, the Ramah says that that's not permissible. Let's say a person wants to drive a truck on Chol HaMoed Pesach in order to make a few dollars and he wants to deliver chametz, so that's not permissible. You paid money not to drive an empty truck, you paid money to deliver the chametz, to deliver the rolls from one person to the other person. So that's an example. The Gemara says, if you drive a truck and you deliver a basa b'chalav, or you deliver stam yenam, something that's also manoah, and you're salaried for it, so then that's an example of getting hanoah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, a special din for sure that applies to chametz b'pesach. You're not even permitted to feed chametz to behemas hefker. Let's say a non-Jew threw out a bagel, threw out some chametz in the street that's in the garbage can. And then there's a dog is roaming around in the street and he's hungry. And the dog doesn't know how to jump into the garbage can. So if I'll tilt over the garbage can in order to enable the dog to eat the chametz, so that says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Talmud Yerushalmi, l'hachel chametz l'behemas hefker is not permitted. Same thing in a hospital. There are people who serve as a nurse in the hospital, so part of their job is that they have to give food to the patients. So they're not permitted to feed chametz even to the non-Jewish patients. To feed chametz to a Jewish patient is a bigger reason. That's lifnei l'sita michshol, to give chametz to a Jewish patient. But even to feed the chametz to a non-Jewish patient, where the non-Jew is permitted to eat the chametz, that's not a problem of lifnei either. But it's the same as feeding chametz to a behemas hefker, that the pasuk says that the chametz you have to see that the chametz should not be eaten because of you. So again, if the bedikah is done on Sunday night, then a bracha is recited. The bedikah is done before Sunday night, a bedikah mokdam is, that's a dispute. And the accepted opinion, Shulchan Aruch, that no bracha is recited. On Leil HaSeder, the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that one doesn't begin the Kiddush until Tzeis HaKachavim. You have to start right away. Going to dilly-dally till you're going to start saying Kiddush, then you're going to miss Chatzos. The Gemara in the end of Psochim says that there's a question whether it's necessary to finish eating the matzah before Chatzos today or not. So the Gemara says it depends on the dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lozem and Azariah. If the din of Chatzos, all the Tanoim agree they have to finish eating Korban Pesach by Chatzos. You're not permitted to eat Korban Pesach after midnight. So if one should assume like Rav Lozman and Azariah that the din of Chatzos by Korban Pesach is a din min haTorah, then the Gemara says it carries over to matzah as well, because there's a hekesh comparing matzah with chametz. If one adopts the position of Rabbi Akiva that Chatzos on Korban Pesach is only with the Rabbanon, so the gzera is only made with respect to Korban Pesach, they never made gzera with respect to matzah. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Lozman and Azariah? Do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? So Taisus has the two opinions and the end of Psochim. This is two views. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends one should be careful to see to it that he eats the matzah before Chatzos. Not only to eat the matzah before Chatzos, the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ran and Megillah that one should be careful to finish all the abrakosis. Some say you should just be careful to eat the matzah before Chatzos. Some say you should be careful to eat the afikoymen before Chatzos. And some say you should be careful, if possible, to finish all the abrakosis before Chatzos. The Chad Gagya, that you can say after Chatzos. Echad miyodea, you can leave that in Gansen, so you can say that after Chatzos also. So, Mikir Adin we paskin that you can do all the mitzvahs after Chatzos, the matzah, with the abrakosis and so on. So if trying to do the chumrah, finishing everything before Chatzos would imply that the balabasta worked for 2 weeks before Pesach, cooking and baking and preparing everything. So if it means you're going to tell a woman that she can't serve all of the courses that she prepared, she's going to feel very upset. So that's not right. We assume that this is only a chumrah. Mikir Adin, it's okay to have after Chatzos. It's not proper to observe chumrahs at someone else's expense. But if you can push the Seder along without dilly-dallying, without wasting time, and you can encourage the balabasta, next course, without rushing her, to try to finish the meal, to try to finish all the abrakosis before Chatzos, that's the proper thing to do. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Bali HaTosus who lived in England. There were Bali HaTosus who lived in England. Some of them were killed. There were pogroms in every country in Europe. So the Balei HaTosfos say that their wives and their children didn't understand the Hebrew of the Haggadah, and one is only a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim if they understand what they're talking about. Just to recite the Haggadah, not to know what the words mean, you're not yotzei anything. The Higadot HaLevincha means you have to understand. So they say you should recite the Haggadah in English. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, because the Balei HaTosfos lived in England. So they say you should recite the Haggadah in England. So we live in America also. We speak English. So if there are people who don't understand Hebrew, we should recite the Haggadah in English. As it says in Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham quotes in the Balei HaTosfos, you should say the Haggadah in English. The Gemara says, with respect to each one of the Arbakosis, we follow the opinion of the Rambam, that everybody's supposed to drink each one of the Arbakosis. There was an opinion, Tosfos raises such a possibility, that just like by Kiddush and Havdalah, and benching ala kos, only one person drinks the cup and everybody's yotze the bracha ala kos, so too Arbakosis. So we don't follow that opinion. Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is like the Rambam, that each person should have Arbakosis. Then how much do you have to drink? So Tosfos reinterprets the Gemara. Tosfos says, even though the Gemara says you should drink Rav HaKos, that's not what it means. It's the same as Kiddush and Abdallah. All you have to drink is a Maloy Lugmav. Maloy Lugmav is a Rav Revi, is by an Adam Beinani. So the accepted opinion Shulchan Aruch is not so L'chatchila, one should drink Kol HaKos, the entire cup. And B'diyeved, if a person drank Rav HaKos, that would be sufficient. The Kos has to contain a minimum of a Revius of wine. A revius is the volume of an egg and a half. That's how we assume. A revius hakav, not a revius halug. According to Rashi, it's a revius halug. Rashi and Erev, it's much more, a whole bottle of wine. So we don't follow, nobody follows Rashi's opinion. Even the Chazon Ish doesn't follow Rashi's opinion. Nobody drinks a revius hakav. We drink a revius halug. There's a disagreement with Rashi. A lug consists of six beitzim. So revius halug is a beitzah or machzah, the volume of an egg and a half. The eggs that we see are usually either large or jumbo. We don't see average size eggs. The small eggs and the average size eggs, they usually don't sell in the store for private use. They make mayonnaise out of that. So you have to visualize an egg that's slightly smaller than normal egg that we see. That'll be a beitzah beinonis. And the volume of an egg and a half, that's a revius. So l'chatchila, the proper practice should be to drink kol hakos. That's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Bach. And but yeah, but if a person drinks rav hakos, that would be sufficient. the Gemara has a din in brachas that a koishal bracha. The Gemara happens to be talking about koishal brachas amazon, but it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch with respect to Kiddush and Havdalah as well, that we require shtifa v'hadach. He's supposed to rinse out the cup and the inside and the outside to make sure that it's clean. So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos, what if I washed out the becher on Mitzvah Shabbos after I said Havdalah, and I keep it in the cabinet, and it's clean. So when I take it out Friday night to recite Kiddush again, the becher is clean. So the Magen Avraham says that there's no need to rinse out the cup again. But many have the practice, Hasidim have the practice, because it's based on Kabbalah. The Kaf HaChaim quotes this from Kabbalah sources. Usually the Sfardim are more into Kabbalah than Ashkenazim, so that's why the Kaf HaChaim quotes it. That even if the cup is clean from last week, you should still rinse it out in the inside and the outside. And there are many Gedolim who had the practice on Leil HaSeder to rinse out the cup each time. Before Kiddush, you rinse out everybody's cup, and then after you drink the first cup of wine, even if the leftover wine, or the, let's say there's no leftover wine, I drank the whole cuss. But so the germs are my germs, and the leftover two drops of wine on the bottom is from my wine still. So many tzaddikim, many gedolim had the practice to rinse out the cup when you're preparing to fill it up for the second time, when you're prepared to fill it up for the third time, after when it's time to bench, and for the fourth course, to have shtifa v'hadocha each time. Then the pashtus is that you don't need, because it's leftover wine that I drank, so it's not someone else's germs, it's in my cup. But that's the midas chasidus, to rinse out the cup even if it's clean. What exactly are you supposed to use? So l'chatchila is supposed to use wine. The Shulchan Aruch says if a person can't afford wine, wine is not available, one can use chamar medina. You use something that's a bekovet digamashke, and that medina. There are those who say the name Rav Chaim Volozhin, that the chamar medina is only a midi de mishaker. If it's something that has a little bit of alcohol in it, then you can get a little high on it. Usually the oilam is mekel. Many gedolim were mekel in Europe. They couldn't afford to have wine for Havdalah. The could have wine for kiddush. He used to recite kiddush or bechalas. That's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. If wine is too expensive, you can recite kiddush or bechalas. And havdalah, they would recite over hamar medina. So Rav Chaim Oizer Etz Yodua would recite havdalah over a cup of tea, burning hot tea. He considered that hamar medina, even though it's not immediately meshaker. So many, let's say, if a person can't afford wine, a person can't drink wine for some reason or another. So if he can drink orange juice or apple juice, so that would be considered chamar medina. But chamar medina is only acceptable if wine is not available, or you can't take wine, you're not healthy enough to take wine. If you can take wine, the proper practice is to have wine. What about grape juice? So grape juice is agamsa machloikas. Many gedolim were of the opinion that grape juice is shahakal niya bedvaray, because the only time the Gemara says if you have yayin, if you squeezed out grapes and you have grape juice, you say bor piagofen and it's good for kiddush, that's only if the grape juice was not treated chemically to prevent it from fermenting. But our grape juice is treated chemically, it's never going to ferment. Even if you let it sit for a long time, it'll spoil, but it won't ferment, it won't turn into wine. So many poskim were of the opinion. Rav Henkin was the big paisik in New York years ago, so he wrote a tshuva 70 years ago or so, that the grape juice is shahakal niya bedvara, that it's not bor piagofen and it's not considered wine. The first one to paskin that grape juice is considered wine was Professor Louis Ginsberg for the Jewish Theological Seminary. He's down the block. And he mastered to the federal government during the Prohibition years, when it was against the law to manufacture intoxicating beverages, except if it's necessary for sacramental purposes. So the Jews made their own wine, and they said it's necessary for Kiddush and Havdalah and Abakaisis. So he mastered to the government that it's not necessary, that we can say Kiddush and Abakaisis over grape juice. It's not necessary to have wine. And when he published his tshuva, many applauded his tshuva. Many Rabbanim thought that it's out of this world. It was Givaldic. And others disagreed. There was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, who was a Rav in Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut. He has a whole attack against Louis Ginsberg, the Rosh HaKaroim, the head of the conservative movement. Keresh Einim Misacha has a whole attack against him. And he says, like Rav Henkin said at that time, that grape juice of Shahakal, it's like a kiguf b'li neshama, it's like a dead person. How can you compare grape juice to wine? No tzushto. The first poisek that we accepted who feels that the grape juice is good, it was Rav Moshe Feinstein. He passed on the grape juice in Bor Piagofen, and you can say Kiddush and Havdalah and so on, but he felt that you shouldn't use, it's not right to use grape juice for Arbakosis, because one idea of Arbakosis is a Brocha Alakos. So you say Kiddush, Havdalah, okay. So you recite Asher Gialono, Brichas Hamozen Alakos, so that would be fine. But the Gemara says there's another inyan, another aspect, Arbakosis, that you're drinking a toast, you're drinking a lachayim. They demonstrate, b'chol dor v'dor chay v'adam laharis esatz mekilu hoyatzim. It's right, we want to demonstrate that we have b'nei chayrin. So the way to demonstrate is not by drinking tomato juice or to drink orange juice. The way to demonstrate is to have a lachayim, to have a toast over something that has some alcoholic content to it. The slaves also drink tomato juice and oranges, but they're not given schnapps to drink, they're not given wine to drink. So that's where Rav Moshe was of the opinion that he thought that grape juice is good for Kiddush and Havdalah, but not on Pesach night. You shouldn't use grape juice for Abakosis. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was old, who wasn't able to take all of that wine, so his practice would be that he would use grape juice with Abakosis. He thought, not like Rav Moshe, he thought that, look, if it's a Bor Piagofen and it has the status of wine, so Mikra Din, it's acceptable for Arbakosis. And he said, Fakert, the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, a person should use for Arbakosis pleasant tasting wine. Shtia Areva should be a pleasant taste. If one enjoys grape juice much better than he enjoys wine, so it would be preferable to use the grape juice for Arbakosis. Our practice is that before we dip the karpas into the salt water, we all wash until it's yadayim. Some of the yekis in the neighborhood follow the yekis shiposkim, that they only the father of the household washes until it's yadayim before karpas. But the common practice is, like it says in Rambam, that everybody washes until it's yadayim without a bracha. They tell the story about the yeshuvenik. There's a whole literature about the yeshuvenikis. In Europe, there used to be religious, pious Jews who lived on the farm. They never had a minyan all year long. They never saw any rabbanim. They never saw any balabatim. They used to daven all by themselves. So they were very ignorant. They didn't know the dinim, but they were very pious. And tell the story about the yeshuvenik that before he ate the karpas, he washed his hands and he said, Baruch atah Hashem makenem al-choylam asher k'nishanam v'nitzasav v'tzivanu. That was it. So someone was there, they asked him, why? They said, because it says in the instructions, you wash your hands, you don't say the words, anatil sedai. So we should all understand, we learned in the yeshiva, it doesn't mean that. It means you don't say the whole bracha from the beginning to the end. You don't say the whole bracha. They tell a story about the yeshuvenik. There are tons of stories about yeshuvenik. Yeshuvenik married a girl from the big city. So came the first Pesach, so he daven ma'ariv, there was no minyan. He daven ma'ariv and he tells his wife, okay. He's going to say, he says Kiddush for Yantav, then he says, okay, let's eat. So he says, what do you mean, let's eat? You have to have a whole Haggadah. I remember my father used to say Halal, he used to say Nishmas. You don't just sit down and eat, you got to say a lot. He says, what don't you understand? When Pesach falls on Rosh Chodesh, then you say Halal. When Pesach falls on Shabbos, you say Nishmas. It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos. Say, give me the meal, let's go. Let's wash and we're going to eat. Well, there's almost nothing better. They have a lot of stories about the yeshuvniks. They were very pious, but they were very ignorant. So, needless to say, you have to say Nishmas and Halal, even if Pesach doesn't fall out on Rosh Chodesh, even if it doesn't fall out on Shabbos. And the practice is that everybody washes until it's a dime b'li bracha, you don't say the bracha at all. So the first cup of wine is the Kiddush, and after the Kiddush with the Kaddish, Uchatz Karpas, we wash until it's a dime, no bracha is recited. And then Tosfos has a major machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim and the other Balei HaTosfos, what's the story with the maror that you're going to eat in the middle of the meal? So Tosfos' opinion is that the maror is considered Dvarim HaBoyim Achmas HaSuda, like one of the many courses in the middle of the meal. You're not going to say a brocha shahakal on the meat. You're not going to say bar pi adama on the potato kugel. You're not going to say bar minim zaynus on whatever mezaynus you're going to have in the middle of the meal. So the maror is also covered with the hamotzi lechem. In other words, it's dvarim haboyim achmas hasuda. Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim disagrees. He says no, that the maror is not covered with the bracha of hamotzi. And you have to say Bar Pri Hadoma over the karpas in the beginning of the meal, and you have to have in mind this should cover the maror. Tosfos disagrees with Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. They say the bracha Bar Pri Hadoma that you recite over the karpas cannot cover the maror, because it's such a long pause between the karpas and the maror. The Gemara says that there's a hesach hadas. The Gemara is talking about why you have to wash until it's a dime a second time. The Gemara is not talking about birchas hanenin. The Tosfos says, just like the Gemara says that there's a hesach hadas with respect to the netilas yadayim, you have to wash a second time before you eat the matzah at Pesach night. So too, if you really have to say bar pri hadoma over the maror, it won't be covered with the bar pri hadoma over the karpas. You have to say a second bracha. And Tosfos says that if you ate karpas, the bar pri adama cannot cover the maror in the middle of the meal, and you should really say bar nefashos, because there's a hesach hadas in between the eating of the karpas and the maror later in the middle of the meal. So that's why the Hagos Maimoni quotes in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg. The Hagos Maimoni was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, the Rosh and the Mordechai, that whole group of Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg. That was the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos, and we have many of the Chumris of the Maharam Rutenberg were introduced into the Shulchan Aruch. So he introduced a new theme into Psak Halacha that was common during his lifetime. The Hasidi Ashkenaz had a style of Psak to try to satisfy all the opinions, try to be Yotzei Yidei Kol HaShitas. So one of the many Chumras that he introduced is when you eat the Karpas, you should bedavki eat, you should have in mind that the Bar Pei Adam should cover the Mora. You should be careful to eat less than a Kazayis. The Rambam, as we have it, says that each and every member of the household has to have a kazayis of karpas l'chalechot v'yechot. Everybody has to eat a kazayis of karpas. So the Hagos Maimoni quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, it doesn't make any sense. Why do you need a kazayis? It must be a misprint. He thinks that line that says each and every member of the household has to have a kazayis probably belongs later. When the Rambam writes about maror, he never wrote that you need a kazayis. So that line belongs later. In all the Kisveyat, all the manuscripts, nobody has such a girsa that they have it late. Everybody has it on karpas. So the Maharam Rutenberg says that you don't need a kazayis, adarabe. More correct would be to be dafke eat less than a kazayis to satisfy the both opinions. So we say bar pri adama over the karpas, and we have in mind this should cover the maror. Then we should be careful not to eat a kazayas, because if we eat a kazayas, Tosis claims that you have a hesach hadas, and such a long pause between the eating of the karpas and the eating of the maror, that you would have to say bar nefashas in between. What type of vegetable are you supposed to use for the karpas? So some people are hungry, so they like to use potatoes. There used to be a prominent rabbi in the New York area who used to use bananas. He wanted to teach the balabatim. That's when the chiddush came out that bananas are burpi hadam, even though they grow on a tall tree. Since the whole tree collapses at the end of the year and everything grows back next year, so the Torah has a machloikas harishayin, whether that you say burpi ha, it's a burpi hadama. So in order to play it safe, we say burpi ha adama. So this prominent rabbi was Big Talmid Chacham, he was Yadu in the New York area. He used to use bananas, and he used to invite balabatim over to eat by his seder. Everybody should learn from him that bananas are burpi hadama. It's a nice idea, but the Magen Avraham says that you're supposed to use yirokas. Yirokas are green vegetables. More correct is to use a green vegetable. You want to eat potatoes afterwards, because hey, eat some potatoes. Want to have bananas in addition, that's fine. But the initial vegetable for the karpa should really be yirokas, which is a green vegetable. After the Kaddish Ruchatz karpas, then we have yachatz. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz there. The Gemara says that the matzah with which you fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach night should be a broken matzah. The pasuk describes the matzah as lechem oni, and there's a kri uksiv. It's written choser ayin nun yud, and the kri is molei ayin oni. Ksiv oni krinan oni. So the Gemara usually has a machloikas hatanaim, what do you do when there's a conflict, a contradiction between the kri and the ksiv? Do you follow the ksiv? Do you follow the kri? Yashem la mikro, yashem la masoris. So Tosis points out on Sanhedrin, on that daf, on daf dalet, whenever there's a way where you can darshan both together, the kri and the ksiv, that's the best thing to do, and you accept both. Here, we darshan both. So we say the matzah should be lechem oni, lechem sh'onim ala dvarim harbi. The matzah should be exposed the whole time while we tell the whole sipi tzias mitzrayim. And then that's the kri, oni, onim olav dvarim harbe. And then oni, lechem oni, the way the ksiv is, madakri shaloni beprusav kam beprusa, that we should fulfill the mitzvah with a broken matzah. The poor man probably can't afford to bake his own matzahs, can't afford to buy matzahs in the store. So he has the wealthy person to give him. So the wealthy man is going to give him leftovers. Whatever he cut the chalas on Shabbos, so he's going to give him a half a chalas, the sliced chalas that's left over. Halaf rois leroi v'lachmecha, he's going to give him a prusa. Shaya Novi says, Allah first Leroy Vachmecha, give to the poor man, break bread with him. So the matzah on Pesach night should be a prusa. So the Maharal Miprag explains that our practice is that we have yachatz in the beginning of the meal. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz. He has yachatz before you're about to say hamoitzi, then you break a matzah, so that the hamoitzi and halachilas matzah should be recited over a prusa. But we have the practice that we combine together lechem sh'oinim olav dvarim harbe with prusa. So we break the yachatz in the beginning before we start the magid, so the sipi tzias mitzrayim will be told over the broken matzah from the beginning of the seder. The Baal Hamor points out in his commentary on the Rif in the end of Psochim that the ikar of the halal on Pesach night is the second half of halal, which is recited after the meal. Many people don't have a niggun for the halal, so they rush through the last part of halal. Half of the people don't even say the second half of halal. They just bench and they call it quits. And then they have to sleep and someone else is saying halal, then they drink the fourth cup of wine. That's not proper. The more correct practice is one should emphasize the second half of the halal. Baal Hamor quotes a Gemara in the end of Tainus that when you have a Yeshua, so the reciting of the halal should be Akeres Meleah Benefesh Sedeya after you eat the meal. We recite a little bit of the halal before the meal to be kaver the Suda as a Suda Saidoya, but the main part of the halal is that part that follows the Birchas Hamazon. So at the conclusion of the first half of the halal, so the Mishnah says we recite the Bracha Asher Gyalon. And many of the Haggadahs, you'll have Chassidish Haggadahs that you get in the mail, say after the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, so it says in small letters, Hini Mukhna Mezum al Kai Mitzvah is Kosheni, and a lot of people say this before they recite the Bracha Bar Piyagof. And that's not really right. To be mafzik in between the Bracha of Goal Yisrael and the Bar Piyagof, and it's not right. You're in the middle of the bracha alakos. If one is in the practice of reciting Hini Mukhram Zuman, he should say it before he starts Hashir Galono. Maybe before it starts the halal, he should say Hini Mukhram Zuman to fulfill the mitzvah of Kos Sheni. Same thing, the Kos Shlishi, after Birchas Hamazon, so many people say Hini Mukhram Zuman because it's printed in the Machzor. Hini Mukhram Zuman to be Mekayim Kos Shlishi, then you say Bar Pi Agopin. So what do you mapsik Hini Mukhram Zuman? Even to recite Harachmans is a problem. The Tur has a discussion with his brother whether it's proper to be mapsik when you recite Bichas Hamazon Alakos. Is it proper to say all the Harachmans? The benching, strictly speaking, is over when you say Liolam Ayachasrein. So maybe all the Harachmans constitute a hepsik in between the Bichas Hamazon and the Bar Pi Agopin. So usually we are lenient on this matter. We follow the opinion of the Tur. That since all year long we say these are Rachman, so it's considered as if it's an elongated form of the fourth bracha Hatoiv Ameitiv. Over the generations, it appears from the Gemara and the Rishonim that they kept on making Hatoiv Ameitiv longer and longer. So we add on all the Harachmans. Many people have the practice, they're so concerned about Bittul Torah, so all year long they don't always say all the Harachmans. They recite Birchas Hamazon and they say till the Yom HaYechasrein, and then they run to class when they have breakfast or lunch or whatever. They're so busy. So concerned about Bittul Torah, whatever. So if you leave out Harachmans a lot of time, you don't always say Harachmans. So then when you recite Birchas Hamazon al Ayayin, like Pesach night, it's really questionable whether it's proper to say Harachmans. Since a lot of times people leave it out, so you demonstrate that it's not really part of the bench, and not really part of the bench, and then it's a hepsik. So right after the Olam Ayachasreinu, one should say Bar Pi Agopin. Unless you're eating from someone else, you're eating by your parents, or you're a guest by someone else, then Medina de Gemara, maybe Medina de Reis, you have to give a bracha to the Balabayas. Some of the Rishonim comment on the pasuk of Erachto Es Hashem Alokech Es L'Rabbis Balabayas. It could be that the Birchas Balabayas is a din de Reis. See, after Liolam Ayachasrein, one should recite the bracha for the Balabayas and then say the Bar Pi Agopin. But for sure, the Hinei Mukhan Mezuman, that for sure is a hefsek. That's not really right to recite Hinei Mukhan Mezuman at that point, in between the Birchas Hamazon, in between the Gaul Yisrael and the Bar Pi Agopin, in between Birchas Hamazon and the Bar Pi Agopin, that's not right. Regarding the fourth cup of wine, the Mishnah says that one recites the Birchas Hashir over the fourth cup of wine, and the Gemara is not sure what do the words Birchas Hashir mean. What is the Birchas Hashir? Which bracha is that Birchas Hashir? So the Gemara has a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda lived in Bavel, Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Adam Achleik is, what is Birchas Hashir? So Rabbi Yehuda says that that's what we call Yehalalucha. We always recite Yehalalucha, the small paragraph at the end of the Halal. So we just finished Halal, so we should say Yehalalucha. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees, and he says, no, that it's Nishmas Kol Chai. Nishmas is Zod, Nishmas and Yishtabach is one long bracha. So the bracha that we usually recite at the conclusion of Sukkah de Zimra on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's what we should recite at the conclusion of the Halal on Pesach night. So the Rashbam has the Girsa in the Gemara. It was probably taken from the... We don't have it printed in our Gemara, so Rashbam had it in his Gemara, probably taken from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, that we follow both. Then Rino Litravai, we say both Yehalalucha and Nishmas Kol Chai. So half of the Haggadahs that I get in the mail, I'm sure you got the same Haggadahs that I got in the mail. I don't have any special schusah. So half of the Haggadahs have both brachas. They have Yehalalucha at the end of the Halal, and with the bracha, then you have Nishmas Kol Chai with Yishtabach after that. So that was a common practice in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. The Rashbam and the Tosfos write like that. Then Tosfos says, Rav Chaim Kohen said that that's not right. You don't say two brachas over the fourth course of wine. The Mishnah says, Birchas Hashir in the singular. You only say one bracha. But the Gemara had, the Rashbam has the Girsa that you say both. So what does it mean you say both? So it doesn't mean exactly two brachas. So what do you say? See, here the family has to make up their mind in advance whether they're going to say Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. The Sfaradim should say Nusach Sfarad. The Hasidim daven Nusach Sfarad, so they should say the Haggadah Nusach Sfarad. So they should follow Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Beis Yosef. Ashkenazim daven Nusach Ashkenaz, the Misnagdim daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so they should say the Nusach that the Ramah has. So you should, in the Chokyanka writes, everybody should make sure that they're on the same page. Everybody should make sure that they have the same Haggadah. Make up your mind in advance whether you're a Nusach Ashkenaz family or a Nusach Sfarad family. So Nusach Ashkenaz goes straight. You say the second half of Halal, Then you say Yehalelucha till the last line, but not including the bracha. You say up until, but not including Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Me'olah V'Atish Bachos, and you don't say that. Then you say the 26 psukim that end Kili Olam Chazdoi, and then you say Nishmas Kol Chayin, you say Yishtabach, and you recite the bracha at the end of Yishtabach, like we normally say the bracha at the end of Yishtabach. And the Nusach Svard goes backwards and forward. Nusach Svard, you finish the Hallel, and you say the Halelucha till later. After you complete Hodol Hashem Ki Tov Ki Diyolam Chazda twice, that's the end, the last pasuk in the Hallel, then you say the 26 psukim Ki Diyolam Chazda, then you say Nishmas Kol Chayin with Yishtabach, up until the end of the Yishtabach, but not including the last line, not including the bracha. And then, after you finish the Yishtabach, up until, but not including the last line, the bracha, then you go back and you say Yehalelucha, and you conclude with Yehalelucha. So that's Nusach Svart. So the family should make up their mind. We don't have the minig that the Balei HaTes had to say two brachas. Half of the Haggadahs that I have in the house have like that. They have old reprints of all Haggadahs, but that minig doesn't exist anymore. So we have either Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svart. So the family should make up in advance which practice they're going to follow. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh that just like in Shul, the Chazan says, Hodol Hashem ki tov ki liyolam chazda, everybody answers, Yomane Yisrael ki liyolam chazda, Yomane Yisaharan ki liyolam chazda, so too by the Seder, one person should recite Hodol Hashem ki tov ki liyolam chazda, the other should answer. That's called Amira V'Aniyah. In the Shul, you have a minyan. So the Ramah quotes from the Rosh, it's not necessary by the Seder to have a minyan, as long as you have three people, and three people can be a combination, men and women. Also, as long as you have three people, you should make up in advance that you're going to recite the Hallel Ba'amira V'Aniyah. It's a chidush, why three people is enough? Why don't you require 10? Usually, when you have a Dovah Shebikdusha, you recite it Ba'amira V'Aniyah. So Dovah Shebikdusha requires 10. So it's a good kasha, I'm not sure exactly what the answer is, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have three people, then you should, the one who's reciting the Haggadah, should initiate the responsive reading of Hodol Hashem Ki Tov Ki Liyolam Chazdoi, and so on. The Gemara has a din, that you have to drink the abrikosis beheseba, and you have to eat the matzah beheseba, the morah should not be eaten beheseba, morah is lezecha by morah is chayayim. So the eating of the matzah, that's beheseba, we are b'nei chorin. The practice is the women, even though the Gemara says the women are just as obligated in heseba as the men, the Shulchan Aruch gives the whole explanation, it's a little complicated, why the practice is that the women do not eat beheseba. The women do not drink that because of beheseba, and the women do not eat the matzah beheseba. It's a question, why not? So Leitchik Gobes used to point out that a lot of people have the practice that they're sitting by the Seder table and then they lean over on the side, leaning over just in midair, they lean over when they eat the matzah and when they drink the wine. So he said, that's not how I said, you have to be leaning on something. You have to lean on the table, or lean on the chair, or lean on the one sitting next to you. The Gemara says they used to, the Talmidim would sit in the yeshiva, they'd lean on each other's laps, if the one next to you is a man. Okay. Make sure you don't lean on a woman's lap. Okay. Charoses is a machlokes hatanoim, whether charoses is a mitzvah, a charoses is only for medical purposes. One opinion in the Gemara, charoses is only in order to kill the worm in the morer. The worm, we're talking about a kosher worm, but if you're going to swallow this kosher worm, it's going to be unhealthy, it's going to crawl around in your intestines. So the Gemara says you should kill a worm by dipping it into morer. Then Rab Lazar Rab Tzadik is quoted by the Mishnah as saying, no, Rab Lazar Rab Tzadik thinks the Charoses is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, man. Torah means it's a mitzvah of the Rabbanah. So it's a mitzvah of the Rabbanah. What is this mitzvah all about? So the Gemara has three different ideas. So the Bavli has two ideas, and Tosis quotes Yerushalmi has a third idea. So the Bavli has two ideas. One is that the Morer is Echelatit, to reminisce about the cement that the Jewish people had to use in order to build all those pyramids. In order to build the Ori Miskenes Lefaros, piece of Es Ramses. So it should be very thick, like cement. Then the Gemara has another opinion that it's Echel Tapuach. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Tachas HaTapuach HaRaticho. When the Jewish women were about to give birth, so the Gemara says in the first Perek in Soita, instead of giving birth at home or giving birth in hospital, whatever was normal, Bizman Mitzrayim, They would go give birth in the field. Tachas atapur charaticha. Kodesh Baruch Hu would be ma'or the babies to come be born under the tapuach tree. So we want to make a zecha to that. What exactly is a tapuach tree? So people usually translate tapuach as an apple. That's in modern Hebrew. And in biblical Hebrew, apples didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Tanakh. So in biblical Hebrew, the word tapuach is referring to a citrus fruit. Tosis writes like that, that tapuach means Tosis in, not over here, Tosis in Tainus, writes that tapuach means a citrus fruit. So the Gemara says the charoses should be thick, zechelatit, and it should also have a sharp flavor, tzorch lekahuya, should have an acidic flavor like orange juice, or like grapefruit juice, zechelat tapuach. Then the Talmud Yerushalmi says that you should pour in a lot of red blood, a lot of red wine, zechelatam. That the charoses should be zechel adam. Unless you live in a country where there's alilas adam, then you don't look for trouble, so you don't pour in the red wine. But if you live in a free country where there's no alilas adam, so then the proper practice is right before you're about to dip in the maror, you should pour in a lot of red wine, and it should be very liquidy. That should be the zechel adam. So we do all three. What should the paste be made of? When you start off, it should be zechel adin, should be thick. What should it be made of? So one of the ingredients should be the tapuach. The tapuach is the citrus fruit. A lot of women have the tradition they like to put in apples, even though tapuach doesn't mean apple, doesn't it? You can put in apples, it doesn't passel it. This is quotes from the Gaonim, and this is all quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that the proper practice is that the different ingredients in the charoses should be the different fruits that the Jewish people are compared to in Sefer Shir HaShirim. So you should have figs and dates and almonds, and pomegranates, in addition to the citrus fruit. The Spartan have like that, or sometimes you get in the mail. They send you a package of charoses. It's the real McCoy, has all of these ingredients in it. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos has a fascinating comment, and you have some Achronim discuss this possibility, that charoses is not only a mitzvah with the Rabbanah to dip the mor into the charoses. There's a mitzvah to eat kezayis charoses. And the last page in the Mordechai on Psochim, that's the way it's printed, that there's a mitzvah to eat kezayis of charoses. And the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Psochim, if the din would have been like Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik, one would have recited bracha shekadishalav b'mitzvos v'tzivon while achilos charoses. Apparently the Rambam thinks going to Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadik, he eat a kezayis of charoses. So it was such a practice. The Rambam records such a practice, to have a kazayis of charoses. If you enjoy it, then why not? There is a custom that the married people wear a kittel to the Seder, and there are two different explanations coming from opposite directions. The Magen Avraham says the reason for wearing the kittel is that we take out the most expensive silverware on Pesach night, and the most expensive plates, and everything is manchei ruseinu, so we're afraid that a person who's wealthy and a person who's a ben chorin, this may go to his mind, may go to his head, and he may sin. So we want to wear a kittel that's a beged meisim to remind us that we're all going to die, and if we'll remember yaska lo yoyim amisa, this will prevent us from sinning. So that's why the Magen Avraham says, that's the Mishnah, the Brewery quotes this meaning from the Magen Avraham. If one is in Avelus anyway, let's say one is in Shloshim over the death of a relative, and one is in Yud Beis Chodesh, so he doesn't have to wear the kittel because he doesn't have to remind himself, Yaskal Yom HaMisa. He's in Avelus anyway, so he doesn't need the reminder. The Vilna Gaon disagrees totally with the Magen Avraham. He thinks, well, on Pesach night, you have to remind yourself, Yaskal Yom HaMisa. He doesn't think that's right. He thinks that the reason for the minig to wear the kittel is because bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, the people who came to the base to Yerushalayim to eat the Korban Pesach probably didn't eat it in their regular yontav dikas suit. They probably put on a special chaluk lavon, just like Moshe Rabbeinu shimish kol shivus yimei miluim. Moshe Rabbeinu did, the Gemara says in Tainus, he did the hakrovas hakrabonis the shivus yimei miluim. Aaron started doing the avodas hakrabonis on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, shmini limiluim. First 7 days, this says Nechumash, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Hakrovas HaKarbonis. So what did he wear? The big dekuna is only for Aaron Abonim. So the Gemara says he must have worn a Chaluk Lavan. So that's what the Vilna Gaon assumes, that probably the people who came to eat the Korban Pesach probably also wore, instead of wearing the plain big dekuna, they probably wore a Chaluk Lavan. And that's why some people by the Seder should wear a kittel to reminisce a Zecha L'Migdash the way it used to be in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The second night of Pesach, we start counting Sfiras HaOmer, and there are two different minhagim. The Sfardish and Mekubalim had a minig based on Kabbalah, which the Hasidim follow, much of Kabbalah they follow, to be dafke count the Sfiras HaOmer after the Seder is all over. And the Ashkenazim, the Misnagdim, don't have that practice. They're makbid dafke to count Sfira before you start the Seder. It's not right to eat before you do the mitzvah of Sfira Sam. You shouldn't eat supper because you may forget. Some people have the Hasidish minik to say Sfira Sam after the Seder, then they forget. So usually the Hasidish Haggadahs have Sfira Sam at the end. So if you use a Hasidish Haggadah, you'll remember. Each family should decide what group they belong to and follow the minig accordingly. Okay, I wish everybody a good Yom Tov.